Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Nashville Predators go 2-1 over the Thanksgiving holiday. The Tennessee Vols move to 7-5. Bama has been eliminated, and the Tennessee Titans move to 7-5 after a road win against the Indianapolis Colts. That's right. You heard that sentence correctly. The Tennessee Titans have beaten the Indianapolis Colts on the road. Hell is officially closed. Corey Curtis joining us here from News 2. Corey, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're doing very well, and obviously Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill have been a big topic of discussion. We'll get to all the unsung heroes yesterday as well. But the way this offense goes, and I saw you tweet about this as well, Ryan Tannehill, 19 passes, you know, 22 passes, 18 passes. Derrick Henry's getting more carries than Ryan Tannehill is throwing the football. That feels like the right recipe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I keep saying it's back to exotic smash mouth for this team. They for whatever reason, they wanted to be something else. They felt like they needed to be something else. But they're not built to be successful doing something else. All they did was get their quarterback killed. And, I always go back to that first year under Mularkey when they averaged like 33 points a game during an eight-game stretch. And it's, you know, playing this exact way, running the heck out of the football and coming up with big plays and play action and, you know, playing opportunistic defense and, you know, that's what this team is doing, and they've scored at least 31 points in their last three games. I think, what's the average now, about 36, 37 points for the last three games? There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, the Ravens are scoring a ton of points as well, and they're running the heck out of the football.
Yeah, and it seems like that with them, because I always go back to, why did they hire Arthur Smith? Well, one, because of continuity they felt they had with him and the quarterback Marcus, same offense. But I just felt that he and Vrabel thought the same, which means we're going to play physical defense, we're going to stop you on defense, and we're going to play in a box, meaning we're going to run the football from tackle to tackle, inside the tackles, and we're going to play action pass. Now, they got away from – they didn't get to it the first – few games of the season, but it seems like that's what they've gotten to. This is their identity, and if they're going to continue to win football games, then, you know, quarterback throwing it 18 times, that's the norm. Him throwing it, you know, 28 times, that's outside of the norm.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, they can stay on track this way. I think, you know, that's, you know, there's a couple things, you know, they were behind the sticks so much to start the season because they had so many leaks and mistakes in the offensive line where they, I mean, remember Henry, I don't know, he probably still does, led the league in negative carries, you know, because that first six, seven, 8 weeks of the season, and it wasn't his fault. You know, he was getting dropped so many times behind the line of scrimmage, and there were so many penalties against the offensive line. And we're still getting a lot of sacks, but they overcame the sacks this week. And, you know, now I think he might have had one negative carry yesterday. And I think the week before was the same thing. You know, they have really improved their run blocking, and they have cut out the penalties. They only had three penalties the entire game yesterday. Only one of them was on the offensive line. Taylor Lewan has gone back-to-back games without a penalty for the Tennessee Titans. And so, yeah, so, I mean, running the football, they're able to do. And, you know, Tannehill is playing great, but there are a number of quarterbacks in this league who, with a good run game, can be really successful, and Ryan Tannehill is one of them.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And I thought a big part of the story yesterday for the Tennessee Titans was the depth showing up and how good this roster shows with all the injuries. Adoree Jackson goes out. You see Kareem Moore with eight tackles. Ty Smith with seven. And, of course, the big play against on the blocked kick. You got Khalif Raymond making the biggest catch of his entire career. You know, you're seeing depth. Now, obviously, the injuries are a concern. But how confident are you that you start to see some of these role players? I mean, Cody Hollister, I think, caught two passes yesterday. What do you make of the depth yesterday playing as well as they did?
Austin Johnson had a blocked field goal and a tackle for a loss yesterday as well. I mean, there were a lot of guys who chipped into this victory, and that's really what you like to see. And you see in-season roster moves that came up big. I've said repeatedly, I think the Khalif Raymond roster move was the best roster move this season for John Robinson. I said when he did it, I thought it was a great move because of the speed that he added, and he gave them something that they did not have. And, you know, I think Mike Vrabel touched on it after the game yesterday. Every guy that's on this roster is expected to produce, is expected to contribute to victory. You know, I mean, Ty Smith, you know, finally getting the chance, you know, gets the start and winds up with a touchdown. Now, you know, the defensive secondary is really going to get tested depending on how LaShawn Sims and Adoree Jackson are. You know, fortunately for the Titans, this was the right team to play.
Yep.
To be shorthanded in the secondary. That's going to get tested more in the future, especially when you play the Texans, if those guys can't get healthy. But, you know, absolutely. You know, like I said, what Vrabel said, when you can get contributions from all 53 or all 46 that you dress, it certainly is a recipe for success.
Now, the way Ryan Tannehill is playing, and he still has some things to clean up. We talked about the fumbles. He holds on to the ball, I think, trying to make a play a little bit too long instead of just saying, you know what, the play's done, let me tuck it in and either throw it away or take the sacks. I think sometimes he just tries to stand in there too long to make a play downfield. Could it be a coverage sack? I don't know. But do you think now we are seeing what maybe Miami wanted him to be? He doesn't have to be great. He has to be good and run the offense with efficiency.
Well, I think Miami probably fell into the same rabbit hole that Seattle fell into for a little while, and I think a lot of teams fall into. When they pay their quarterback, they cannot just have him throw it 20 times a game. They feel like for that much money, for that much of a percentage of the salary cap, that player, you know, has to do more. I think the Titans fell into that rabbit hole with Marcus Mariota, you know, where they had to get the most out of the quarterback. Remember, we heard that, how we have to get more out of the quarterback, and that meant more than 20, 22 passes a game. And so they got him killed. And down in Miami, they got Tannehill killed some. And so, you know, just because you pay a guy doesn't mean he has to throw it 40 times or 35 times to help you win. If his 22 throws are very productive and help you win and you are winning, then that's all that really matters to me. And if Ryan Tannehill can throw at a 70% clip and throw 21 passes a game for the Tennessee Titans, I would think that they would be really, really happy with that if they're scoring 30 points a game. I can't speak to Miami because I think they probably fell into that same rabbit hole as everybody else. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, where the Titans go next year and what their expectations are of their quarterback. And if that changes based on kind of what they've gone through the last couple of years.
Corey, real quickly here, I know mostly it's going to be positive today after a big road win over an organization that sort of had your number, but there are some questions that have to raise concerns for Mike Vrabel moving forward, and that is the defense still gives up a lot of yards. They did that against Kansas City and were able to sort of bend but not break. They did it yesterday, bend but not breaking, forcing Adam Vinatieri, who's clearly not the same player anymore, onto the field. They gave up 6 sacks. Ryan Tannehill started 6 games and fumbled in all 6 of them. The offensive line is still a concern. There are still some things that obviously give you pause. This is still only a 7-5 team. What are you more concerned about now heading into this final stretch with playoff team after playoff team after playoff team on the schedule?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, number one, when you talk about the yards, they only give up 82 yards rushing to a team that rushed for 144 yards. And, you know, they wanted to put the game in Jacoby Brissett's hands, and it allowed them to make plays, and they made plays. So I'm not as concerned about the defense because I think they kind of did what they wanted to do. I think clearly, you know, the 6 sacks, that's, I think, 49, something like that, for the season in 12 games. That's a concern. You're still on pace for close to 70 this year. That's That's too many, because that's, you know, those sacks are what leads to turnovers. You know, the Titans were fortunate. You know, Tannehill gets sacked six times. That would have been 28 pass attempts, you know, with the six sacks. That's just, that's too many. That spells turnovers to me. That spells penalties to me. That spells big problems. They, you know, and, you know, when you're running the ball as successfully as they are, you should be able to protect the quarterback a little bit better, in my estimation. So that's still the biggest concern to me, is their ability to protect the passer, especially in a game where they could be behind, you know, and they've got to play the Texans back to back. They've got to play the Saints. You're going to the Raiders in a game that's an absolute must win for them. You know, chances are you're going to be behind a time or two. You know, they've continued to run the ball when they're behind, but there's probably going to be a time where they're going to have to throw it. And can they give Tannehill the time? That's a concern.
Yep. Corey Curtis, News 2. Always a pleasure, my friend. Take it easy, bud.
All right. You guys have a good one.
There you go. Yep. Corey Curtis. The Titans win 31-17 over the Indianapolis Colts on the road yesterday. Only their second win over the Colts in Indianapolis since 2007. They are 2-14 in their last 16 trips to Indianapolis. So just their second win. By the way, Tannehill and Mariota 3-1 against Brissett. Mm-hmm. 0-11 as an organization against Andrew Luck. So I think it might have something to do with that Andrew Luck guy. But
that was an Andrew Luck problem and not a it was Andrew Luck that they were losing.
Yeah,
they were losing
Andrew
him,
Luck.
Not anybody else.
Yep. 0-11 against Andrew Luck, 3-1 against Jacoby Brissett. It doesn't matter who plays quarterback. However, we got to get to the guy that is sort of driving all of this. I also want to talk defense for the Tennessee Titans as well. What did we see yesterday out of this unit? We just got a little bit of Corey Curtis's opinion on that. So Derrick Henry and the defense, can they continue to keep this up as the Titans win yesterday against the Colts, move to 7-5, tied for the final wild card? We'll do that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Man, listen up. And I've been telling you this for over a year now about the good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, my men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that wonderful and experienced staff, will give men treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and the surrounding area in Tennessee with improving their immune system. It's getting cold, fellas. And this is the, this is the season where you get a little sniffles. And those sniffles cause you to miss work. So we can't have that, okay? So go to Cool Springs MD because, again, they will help you to improve your immune system. Energy levels high in the morning. We need that. We won't even need coffee. You go to Cool Springs MD, all right? Cognitive functions and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And who doesn't want that? And there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle, man. What are you waiting on? We ain't getting no younger, all right? But we need to get healthier. This is what you do. You give Cool Springs MD a call today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Today. Here's the number to make an appointment. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Do like I'm going to do today. Pick up that phone and make a call, because I will. Or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
It is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies will be accepted now at the 102.5 The Game studios at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville. Donations will benefit our kids, of course, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. Also donate this Wednesday at the Sudden Service convenience store located at 6029 Nolensville Pike in Nashville between 6 and 10 a.m. Plus, we're going to be giving away a Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. That's pretty cool. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. 102.5 The Game's Season of Giving, brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores. And let's show everybody, you know, kind of what we're made of here, because obviously our morning show, I'm grateful to Ryan Porth and our company and all you guys for allowing our kids to be the beneficiary of this. We have, not to go into too much detail, but at our clinic, we service about 900, almost 1,000 sexually abused children a year over 47 counties in Middle Tennessee, and they need things. They need toys. They need all kinds of stuff. We try to send every kid home with something after they've gone through a really brutal and difficult evaluation. And so let's bring some toys in to the studio here. And so all the toys will go to our kids. That's our charity here on Morning Drive. I know Darren Donick and Chase and the guys are going to do a lot of good work with bringing in some good winter clothing, jackets and all that kind of stuff for the homeless. And then, of course, Jared and the GM doing great work with the Pencil Foundation to try to help kids with school supplies. So school supplies, winter clothing, and toys for kids, all that stuff we need. So come by the studio, drop it off. And then, of course, Wednesday at Sudden Service Convenience Store. So really proud of the whole team, I think, for what we're doing on that effort there. And our little part here is to talk about it on the airwaves. So really thankful to the guys that run everything, men and women that run everything here, for letting us do that. All right. Some of the things we have not discussed. We've mm-hmm. talked a lot about Derrick Henry, Derek yes. Mason. There's a lot to discuss. He's on an absolute tear. He's averaging 7.5 yards a carry over the last three. He's got 500 yards of offense in three games, and they're scoring a boatload of points because the offense is running through him. I want to talk about the defense here for a second, and a couple of names that pop to mind. First of all, I think Logan Ryan is not even close John Robinson's single best free agent move he's made mm-hmm. in the entire time he's been here. Remember, DeMarco Murray was a trade.
Yeah. Delanie Walker got here before
that.
Yeah.
A lot of great draft picks, a lot of great trades. Ryan Tannehill was a trade.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great trades. But if you go down the list of free agents, you know, obviously in the first couple of years, they were smaller level guys, Ben Jones, Rashad Johnson, those kinds of guys. Even Rashard Matthews was a solid signing. You know, Malcolm Butler, Deion mm-hmm. Lewis, Adam Humphries, Roger Saffold, Cameron Wake. There's a lot of big names that if they've spent money on that haven't necessarily panned out. Malcolm Butler was looking like it was panning out before he got hurt. I think Logan Ryan on that contract, what was it, 3 years, $30 million, something like that, roughly. Mm-hmm. That's as good a contract as John Robinson has given out to anybody during his time. Logan Ryan is the absolute heart and soul of that defense right now.
He's played solid. He was a younger version of McCourty. Because when McCourty was here, McCourty was a good player. He was always in the right place at the right time, did the right things, played the way it was supposed to be played. He didn't try to go outside of his boundaries. He knew his limits, and he played within those limits, and he played really good. Now, he started to deal with injury and started to slow down some, but he was one of those guys that you can count on week in and week out that was going to be there, that was going to give you solid, good play. Logan Ryan is that same guy. He's going to give you really good play, solid play. He's going to play the defense the way it's supposed to be played. He's not going to do anything that's going to put himself in a position to get beat. He knows his limitations. He's not a really fast guy, but he's a smart and heady guy. He knows defenses. He understands Dean Pease's defense. I believe he was there in New England when Dean Pease was in New England, so he understands the defense that he's playing. And Dean can put him, you know, he could put him in the middle to play. If you need him to play safety, he could put him at the corner. He could put him at the nickel. He can ask him to blitz. He's the one guy on that defense that can just do just about everything. Why? Because he has history with Dean Pease, and he understands.
Yep.
He understands the defense that they're playing. And he doesn't try to go outside of his limitations. He doesn't try to be a player he's not. He's not going to get beat deep much because he's not going to let you get behind him. Not because he's super fast, because he plays great technique.
Yeah.
And he's just a solid, really good player within this defense.
And the other guy I wanted to bring up to you, I watched him yesterday. He had a huge part in the interception to Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. He had a huge sack early in the game. Just constantly making plays that are small plays that you don't always pick up on. You know, he'll shed a blocker and run down the line of scrimmage on first and 10 to stop a running play for no gain. And all of a sudden, they're at second and 10, and you're going, oh, this is a much better situation. Harold Landry mm-hmm. has developed into a legit threat off the edge. The way he has developed, and he is impacting the game on almost every series. There's almost one or two or three every game huge plays that he's making that either stops a drive or affects a drive in some way. Harold Landry is constantly active and constantly making plays. He was a one-trick pony as a rookie. That's okay. That happens, mm-hmm. especially with a pass rusher. He is now developing the complete game. Harold Landry has turned into one of the more dependable and bigger playmakers on this defense.
Yeah, he's another guy that is coming into his own. He's another guy that's playing within, you know, the confines of the defense. He knows right now what he can do, what his limitations are. He's not trying to do something that he's not accustomed to doing. He has developed that rush from the edge that you need. He knows how to dip his shoulder to get underneath the tackles. And he's using his speed and his youth to his advantage right now. And obviously he's going to get better. He's going to develop, you know, a secondary move and a third move. Right now, a lot of it is just one or two moves, and he's able to beat guys. But he's a guy now the offenses have to know, okay, where's Harold Landry at? Okay, we know where he's at. We've identified him. Now let's go as an offense. Because if you don't identify a guy like Harold Landry, he will get in the backfield very quickly on you. He's turning into a double-digit sack guy.
Yep.
And barring injury, this is what he should be. 10, 11, 13 sacks per season. For how many seasons? I don't know. But he's becoming the guy that they thought they were getting when they drafted him in the second round. He's not an elite pass rusher at this point in time, but he's a good pass rusher. He's a guy that, again, you got to pay attention to if you're an offense. And he's across the board. Now, he took a silly penalty yesterday. That, I mean, you just got to know when to pull up. The guy was down. Yeah. You knew it was down. Luckily, it did. I don't think it cost him on that drive. Maybe it did. But stuff like that, maybe because he's playing hard, but you got in playing hard, you got to play smart as well. But other than that one play, from the outside looking in, he's probably – well, not probably. He is the most improved defensive player they have on their team from last year.
Yeah. I am concerned. I don't know how concerned you are. I mean, we could talk about this after the break. The bend but don't break defense, it can win you a lot of games in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, it can maybe win you a lot of games when you're playing Tampa Bay or the Chargers or, you know, the Panthers, even though they didn't you know, they broke too much against the Panthers. The Chiefs, that's how you won the game. Mm-hmm. You stopped them and made them kick field goals. You stopped Indianapolis and made them kick field goals yesterday, and their field goal kicking game is off. It's terrible right now. I'm just curious if people are, you know, we're riding this wave right now. They've won 5 out of 6. It's all positive. The NFL can change on you so fast, man. It can change on you so fast in the NFL. And who they got coming up on the road against Oakland, 6-6, fighting for a playoff spot.
New Orleans.
Not a terrible team. Then you go Houston, New Orleans, Houston. That is... Deshaun Watson, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson. That is three games against division leaders.
And listen, Oakland.
You're going to have to play
Carr's playing well. Jacobs is running well. He's the second leading rusher in the NFL right now. We know the fourth leading rusher in the NFL right now. So they have offensive guys. You know, this defense, the way they are playing. Am I concerned with the bend don't break? I think they have to play that way right now because of Malcolm Butler's down. You know, Adoree Jackson's hobbled. LaShawn Sims. So they have to play sort of this. They can't get up in your face and press because they don't have the speed to run on the outside other than Adoree Jackson. They got to play this. Keep it. It's sort of what New England, they've changed a little bit this year, but it's sort of what New England did for many years. We're going to force you to drive the ball methodically down the field. We're not going to get beat deep. But then in the red zone, that's where we earn our money. We're going to stop you in the red zone because now we have that tough guy behind us, which is the back of the end zone. So we're going to play. We're going to bend, but we're not going to break.
And
maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
And complete performance. Special teams making huge plays yesterday. The running game, the passing game is efficient. The defense makes plays. A couple of turnovers there by Byard and Logan Ryan. Obviously, mentally tough team right now. Can they keep that going against high level quarterback play that they will face at least three of the final four games? But for right now, they're still alive. They're in the playoffs, and every week they keep winning, you're still in the playoffs. Every game's a playoff game from here on out for the Tennessee Titans, tied with the Steelers for the final playoff spot, losing on a tiebreaker right now. Pittsburgh in that six hole. Of course, the Titans sitting there at number 7, and if they keep winning, they got a really good shot. When we return, Juwan Jennings, what did he do at the end of the Tennessee Vanderbilt game? Was he wrong? Was it intentional? We will discuss and explain. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans win 31-17. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify. Or log on to thegamenashville.com and find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe today. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And I think we're going to get to this Juwan Jennings thing. And I do want to hear from here's my question to you guys. Do we want to hear from Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans on this? Because I feel like every Tennessee fan is just going to say, no, yeah. Juwan Jennings did nothing wrong. And every Vanderbilt fan is going to say, you're just a villain. He's the Vandy villain like he always has been. Mm-hmm. Should we even ask for those two? Like, are you allowed to call
in? I prefer fair and balanced, you know, both perspectives on this thing, though.
So Juwan Jennings gets into it late in the game after like a second weather delay. It was late. It was testy. Keyshawn Vaughn had been getting into it with some players early in the game. This is a rivalry that's mm-hmm. built up now that Vanderbilt has been competitive, and Tennessee was sort of taking it out on them a little bit. Not irresponsibly, just the idea that they could come back and sort of handle this with relative ease and get to 7-5 and the winning streak and all that stuff. So late in the game, there's a play where Juwan Jennings and a Vanderbilt player get tangled up, and as they're going into the sidelines, they just keep going, and it goes 10, 12, 15 yards outside out of bounds into the end line there, or into the benches and up against the walls at Neyland Stadium. And they're just tussling like you'd mm-hmm. see a couple of guys tussle at the end of the play with some heated, you know, rivalry stuff there. And they're pushing and shoving, everybody comes around them. Everybody gets there's Vols players and coaches, and then there's the Vandy ball boy and all this stuff, and then everybody's there. The Vanderbilt player's helmet comes off. Juwan Jennings starts to stand up, and as he stands up, he steps on the player's head fairly forcefully. It looks like the Juwan Jennings' foot sort of slips off to the side, thank goodness, and it's not a more dangerous play because the Vandy guy's got his hands up and is blocking his face. Juwan Jennings isn't looking at the player when this happens, so he does have some plausible deniability in this. I just have a problem believing that Juwan Jennings doesn't have the body control to know exactly where his foot is. And while Juwan Jennings has become one of my favorite individual players to watch and has been elevated by Tennessee fans into this Derek Barnett, Eric Berry, Jason Witten sort of territory, rightly so, for how much he loves his program, I do think it's a bad look for Juwan Jennings, who's been suspended in the past, who's had issues off the field, not terrible issues, but just small stuff. I do think it's a bad look, and it's one of those that's just totally unacceptable, in my opinion. I think he's got too much talent and raw ability to not know where his foot is on that play. You can't legislate intent. We're never going to know whether he did it on purpose or not. But it sure looks like he could have avoided the player if he had wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, you're not your worst mistake. That's not who people typically are. If that's the case, then we're all horrible people walking around.
No question.
So sometimes you do things and, you know, in the heat of the moment and I'm not talking people like some crazy stuff where you're taking someone's life or something like that. I'm talking small, little minor things.
He got busted for smoking weed in college, and he was being stupid about it.
I'm just talking about this situation. You know, it was a bad look. But am I going to sit here and scream he's a horrible person? No. Did I think he could have avoided the guy? Absolutely. I think he could have avoided the guy. And I like Juwan Jennings. I think he's the heart and soul of that team, not just the offense. But that was a mistake. I think he could have. When I say mistake, I mean mistake by him choosing to do that. And sort of trying to make it look as if he didn't mean to do it. You knew exactly where you were. You could have, watching the video, I watched it a couple of times, you could have stepped over the guy, but you chose not to step over the guy.
Yeah.
Because the guy's right there, sitting. He's right there. If you guys are on a field of play and it's just a regular play and he's down, you step over him. No matter who's around, you step over the guy. Your awareness is that good where you can step over a guy. And I just see it as the same way. His awareness was good enough to step over the guy and not step on the guy. It was a bad look. I do think there was some intent. Now, what they choose to do from here.
We're all just guessing.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. But I would like for him, I don't even really want a public apology. I would like for him to just reach out to the guy and say, hey, listen, yeah. my bad. I'm sorry,
and,
man.
And I think that's.
And we don't need to know anything about it. That's what I would like for him to do.
Yeah,
because it was one of those plays where you could have avoided it.
I think so, too. The tempers got the better of them both, mm-hmm. and they were, you know, you're tussling like you do at the end of a play. And, you know, you could argue that they should never even gotten that far out of bounds. Like, the guys, both of them should have chilled out when they're on the field. But, like, that's, you know, you're in the moment. It's mm-hmm. a play. It happens. You get heated. But I'm sorry. Like, if you're as good of an athlete as mm-hmm. Juwan Jennings, meaning you're good enough to be one of the better SEC receivers, you're one of the better players on the team, you haven't, like, by definition, you have incredible body control.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you are good enough to play in the SEC, you know where all of your body parts are at almost all times. You know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds weird, but, like, to be that level of a player in this conference, mm-hmm. you got to have incredible awareness about your body. And so I just don't believe that he didn't know where the guy was. And again, we're never going to know. I'm just guessing. There's nobody that has any insight or knowledge about this other than Juwan Jennings is the only person that knows mm-hmm. whether or not he did it on purpose or not. And you're right. It's not the end of the world. What's more important is a win over Vanderbilt. What's mm-hmm. more important is getting to 7-5. What's more important is five straight wins for the Tennessee Volunteer Program. What's more important is the turnaround by Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff. What's more important is the defense and how well they've played. The freshmen developing mm-hmm. on both sides of the ball. All that stuff is far more important. But what happens is you get a moment like this where it goes viral and it's all over social media and everyone's got an opinion. And, you know, unfortunately, all that good stuff could be masked. Because if you're just a guy paying attention to Tennessee football in Texas mm-hmm. or Ohio or somewhere else,
that's all you see of Juwan
all you
Jennings.
See is that one play.
And yeah, I just, exactly.
And that's the problem is that's all you may not know anything about Juwan Jennings. And mm-hmm. the only thing you're going to think of is, man, dude stepped on a guy's face.
Exactly.
And that's not who, you know, that's unfortunate, but it doesn't look like it was, it looked like it could have been avoided.
Exactly.
That's all.
And I've heard, it's the most egregious thing I've ever seen.
It's not even the worst.
It's not even the worst thing to happen in the last 3 weeks.
It's not even the worst stepping on a head in football in the state of Tennessee.
No, it's not. You're right about that.
That was Albert Hainsworth.
But it hasn't even been the worst thing that we've seen in the last 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, we saw a Nevada guy.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. We saw Georgia Tech in Georgia. Yeah. A guy did a wrestling move on him. Like, he looked
he
back at the,
his head.
Yeah,
on
he
the
looked
side.
Back at the padding, like, where can I throw him?
By a face
and then
mask.
Slammed him against there.
So, if you missed it, George Pickens, who'll be suspended for the SEC Championship game in the first half, Georgia wide receiver, took basically a Georgia Tech player by the. First of all, he swung two right crosses to the helmet with a closed fist.
Both of them.
Which is one of the dumbest.
Swinging each other.
Which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And then he grabs him by the face mask and slams him by the head up against the wall, which is incredibly dangerous.
Yes.
You got UNLV and Nevada getting into an all out brawl with fans at the end of their game. You got Mike Leach and Jim Harbaugh yelling at reporters. This weekend has made everyone insane.
It's rivalry weekend, man. Everybody's going crazy. Was it a full moon out? I don't know.
It was the holidays. People were.
Goodness.
It was crazy.
So there was a lot that went on, and Juwan Jennings, him stepping on the Vanderbilt player, his head, was a part of it. It wasn't the most egregious thing that I've ever seen
in
sports, but it wasn't a good look for the University of Tennessee's program nor Juwan Jennings in that situation.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because I think Jennings had. He had come through some adversity, a lot of it his own doing, mm-hmm. through the first couple of years of his career, and come out the other side as this sort of, you know, hero of this team, the heart and soul of this team, the guy that everybody wants to watch, the guy that fans now absolutely love, and rightly so. And that isn't going to come across now to other people outside of the area. What's going to come across to people is this one little moment that where he maybe made a mistake, and that's unfortunate. Your calls, 615-737-1025. When we come back, Juwan Jennings, I don't know how big of a mistake it really was. It's a really bad look, and I guess we'll never know. Only Juwan Jennings will know. We'll take your calls when we return right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville Live featuring Nashville Predators Ryan Ellis and Austin Watson. We will be in Cool Springs at Brewhouse South, and the show starts at 7 p.m. A limited number of autographs for pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. This Wednesday night Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. So make sure you come out on Wednesday evening. Obviously, the SEC, lots of storylines. Three coaching jobs are open. Missouri fires Barry Odom. As well as Ole Miss moving on Matt Luke. You've got Arkansas job already open with Chad Morris being relieved of his duties. We'll get to some relieving of the duties coming up in Stick to Sports, by the way. And, of course, Tennessee wins to go 7-5. Nick Saban in Alabama outsmarted and eliminated from the playoffs, so lots of stuff. But obviously the Juwan Jennings situation at the end of the game against Vanderbilt, sort of a bad look for Tennessee. Unfortunate, because it's sort of what only people nationally are going to see. They're not going to see all the other things that are worthy of being discussed with Tennessee football, which is all of the stuff we rattled off last segment. 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Kevin wants to chime in here. Kevin, first up, what's up?
Yes, can you hear me?
We got you, man.
Yes, the video that I saw, if you look at the complete video that 24/7 put out, Juwan Jennings is at the beginning of the play is hovering over the Vanderbilt player and working him over. He knows exactly where that Vanderbilt player is when he steps up and turns. Even though he turned his head away, he hit. He put his foot directly on that man's face. It was deliberate.
Us looking at it, I can't dispute what you just said. I really can't, because my thing is, in that situation, players are aware of what's underneath them. And, you know, sometimes they give a knee shimmy as they're getting up, or they push down a little bit harder on a guy as they're getting up.
You always see the face mask.
Absolutely.
You know, you rub the
so
face
it's
mask
like,
in the
did
dirt
he really
bit.
Did mean to do it or did he not? These guys know exactly what they're doing. And I just thought that Juwan Jennings in that situation, again, it's not going to change how I feel about him. I just think in that situation, it was a bad look for him, bad look for the program. But is that who I believe he is?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But it was a bad look. I don't think he did it by – I don't think it was an accident. I think he did it on purpose. So I can't argue with the caller. I mean, whether the caller's a Vandy fan or not, I can't argue with him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a Tennessee alum. And so I don't like that. I don't like that look. I don't like – I just don't like the idea that you can be in that situation to begin with. Like, the second a player's helmet came off – like, there, it happened, like, a couple times in the Auburn game, too, where, you know, Shivers just blew up Xavier McKinney on a run. There were, like, three dudes without their helmets on that play. I think there was a couple other games where helmets pop off. And the second a helmet pops off, like, maybe it's because I'm old and I'm a dad now. Mm-hmm. But, like, the second a helmet comes off, I just am like, ah! like, I start freaking
out. Like, put
the
helmet back on, please.
I start freaking out because I'm so worried about somebody getting – and this has nothing to do with the Mason Rudolph thing, uh-huh. You know? Like, this is just – in the middle of a play, you see somebody's helmet come off, and like people are moving so fast, and there's so much physicality and speed and danger involved that like I just immediately lose it when I see somebody's helmet come off. I'm like, oh my God! And I think Juwan Jennings, again, while you're in the heat of the battle, mm-hmm. I don't think it's who he is. We'll never know intent. All the things we said last segment. It's just one of those where you go. You know, you have all this stuff that's been built up over the course of the year, mm-hmm. and all these things we will talk about over the course of this week. The idea that the freshmen are all hits for Jeremy Pruitt, that the offensive and defensive lines have developed, that you had one of the biggest turnarounds that you could have ever imagined in school history, mm-hmm. to go 5-3 in the conference and get to 7-5, like all these positive things, and the only thing that's going to make it break through the clutter on social media is going to be when Juwan Jennings may or may not have on purpose and accidentally stepped on a guy's head, and you're going, man, come on, dude. Like, it's just – so I think it's something that could have been avoided, and, you know, we'll move on. I think it's one of those where if you watch social media it on Saturday night, it just devolved quickly. Like, mm-hmm. the fact that the Alabama kicker was getting death threats – like, go read his mentions on Saturday night.
When he missed that field goal – I said, poor kid, because you knew what was coming after that. You knew all of the, you know, if I was him, I would have went right in and shut my Twitter and everything down. Just shut it down for a while. Because, and maybe he did, but the minute he missed that field goal, I felt bad for him.
Oh, I know.
Not that he missed it. I just felt bad, you know, the ridicule he was going to get from these overzealous, you know, Alabama fans that are out there that, you know, their world revolves around Alabama winning or losing. Mind you, they're still 10-2. They've won, you know, a million championships within, you know, the last 10 years. I know they can't win a million, but this program is still one of the top two or three programs in college football. But there are these fans that are just, you know, they're fanatic and yeah. they're crazy. Yeah. And, you know, they don't draw the line between just the game in a guy's life.
And really what upsets me, just from a personal standpoint as an alumni, one of the things that I love about this weekend for college football mm-hmm. is you look around, like Lynn Bowden for Kentucky, mm-hmm. you know, he leads them as a wide receiver at quarterback, running the football. They had over 500 yards rushing mm-hmm. this weekend against Louisville in a huge rivalry game in a nasty environment in Lexington, Kentucky. Gets them to 7 wins, but he loves his university more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing, like, what I love about, and you can maybe speak to this, I don't think many teenagers today, when they sign their letter of intent to go to a major college football program, don't care at all about history or prestige or culture. Mm-hmm. I think the majority. Sure, there's a legacy like Bo Nix every now mm-hmm. and then that goes to a school that has a father that went there or whatever, and they grew up loving the school. But part of what makes Senior Day and Rivalry Week for a guy like Juwan Jennings mm-hmm. is that he has fallen in love with the Tennessee program as much as the fans. He loves his school as much as the fans. And when that happens, that is sort of the perfect, you know, combination of passion and sports and competition and fandom, like all wrapped into one. And that's what I love about college football. And you saw it all across the country this weekend mm-hmm. where senior moments for players and rivalry games, like these players have fallen in love with their university and their programs as much as the fans have. Juwan Jennings loves Tennessee as much as all the fans do. Mm-hmm. And he should be celebrated for who he has become and the kind of player that he is. And he will be by and large, especially by most Tennessee fans. It just bugs me, irks me, bothers me, whatever. Like that may not be the lasting image that people outside of Tennessee see of him, because he doesn't embody that. What he embodies is Tennessee football. Mm-hmm. And I love that about this past weekend. It's just a part of the game that is so special. And I, you know, watching, like, Keyshawn Vaughn, I know he went to Illinois first, but, like, don't tell me he doesn't love Vanderbilt. Like, these guys fall in love with their school. And then when that passion matches the fans' passion, that's when you have a special mm-hmm. sort of moment coming together there. So, all right, I'm done waxing poetically about Tennessee finishing the season 7-5 and beating Vanderbilt with Juwan Jennings accidentally or intentionally stepping on a guy's head. Accidentally
or
intentionally, whatever you think.
No, he intentionally, accidentally stepped on his head.
I think you're probably right. I think he could have, it was, as my father would have told me when I was a small child, son, it was an accident that could have been avoided. I go, Dad, it's an accident. He goes, son, it could have been avoided.
Yeah, you saw it coming.
There's no question about that. Tennessee Titans, big win on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Who deserves the credit? And one guy that is not being talked about at all as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans. We will get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.